Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Talk about this situation, how it's going to play out, John Gruden's decision to step away. Also, other NFL headlines we welcome on. Co-host of the podcast On The Athletic, the Pro Football GM podcast. He's also got a weekly blog on his website, MuellerFootball.com. He is longtime NFL executive and CEO of MuellerFootball.com, Randy Mueller. Randy, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to a little discussion.
Well, we're looking forward to it as well. You've got such a great vantage point on this, given your history as an NFL executive and over the course of a few organizations, over the course of a long career. So before we get into the specifics of things, just with how things have gone since the NFL apparently handed over these emails to the Raiders on Friday until today, what stood out to you or what stands out to you the most about the John Gruden Washington football investigation situation?
Yeah, I just think I have probably a feeling of sadness more than anything else, and maybe it's because of my lifelong association with the league. I just can't believe we're having these discussions at this point. I think obviously everything that John said and decided to put on paper is appalling and unfathomable, really, in my mind. I mean, these are things that obviously in 2021, we shouldn't be talking about these things. I don't even think we should be thinking about these things. So that part made me sad. But as you mentioned, this is part of a bigger investigation, which I know this, having been around the league forever and knowing the NFL structure and the front offices, along with the New York Park Avenue side, these things happen for a reason. A lot of times the questions that we hear asked have already been answered behind closed doors. So this, to me, it kind of made me think back, and maybe it's the conspiracy in me, I don't know, but I'm thinking, why, what's the agenda, who was offended, who's coming after who here, and so I kind of thought through that a little bit. I don't have any answers, but if there's 650,000 emails that are out there, it seems kind of peculiar that some of them got leaked, some didn't, so we probably haven't heard the end of this. I know the NFLPA has commissioned to have more emails transparent in that Washington football team investigation. So there's probably more to be heard from. Me as the team builder, I kind of focus on where the Raiders go from here, and hopefully they can find a way to make this a positive. I know it's a terrible negative narrative for the league, and just having been inside an NFL team's building, we're trying to focus now on how we can win a football game and conclude a long 17-game season that still has 12 weeks left.
Randy, Stan Norfleet here. Thanks for joining us again. You've worked Saints, Dolphins, Chargers, Seahawks. I may be leaving someone out. You have extensive experience in the league. Have you heard or seen things like what's being produced here via email?
I'll be honest with you, I have not. And I've had close association with hundreds of people, and I know John personally. I have not heard or really come across this type of behavior, this type of thought process. Everybody says a lot of things get said in the locker room or around the water cooler. I've never heard the extent that we have. I mean, pretty much everybody under the sun is offended by some of the things that came out. So I have not heard that, and maybe I'm just naive, but I'm a pretty good listener, and over the years have come in contact with all kinds, all walks, every type of people around, and I just have not heard this kind of discussion. So I just think it was obviously way over the line, and I can't really make heads or tails of why things like this would be said. It's just, it's foreign to me, and that's not me putting my head in the sand. That's the truth. I have not seen this type of behavior or any of the things that he pointed out. I haven't been around that before, so that's why I was sad to hear it.
Randy Mueller of the Athletics Pro Football GM podcast and of MuellerFootball.com with Nick and Stan, breaking down the biggest story in the NFL right now, the John Gruden aspect of the Washington football organization investigation that the emails have come out of here that have forced John Gruden to resign with the Raiders. So you mentioned the idea of, like, how do the Raiders move on? I think that's a fair question. How can the Raiders get it right from here?
Well, if I'm Mark Davis, I'm kind of looking at this. And again, I don't really care if John had a settlement. I don't know. I don't really care how much money he's walking away from. I don't think that's part of the story at all. But I do think, being a guy that's ran a football team before, that's probably where my focus shifts. And that's not to make light of the work that we have to do socially and all the things that were brought up in there. They've got to find a way to win a game. I happen to know Rich Bisacci, the interim head coach. I think he's a really good coach. I think he's a really good communicator. I was with him with the Chargers. I'm happy he's going to get a chance. Same can be said for Greg Olsen on the offensive side. Now he can call a game and run an offense without anybody looking over his shoulder. And we all know Gus Bradley has a proven, you know, track record in the NFL. So I think they've got some good people in that building. And like I say, I think Mark Davis can probably at some point, and I know it's early, but he's got to consider this, hey, I'm Mulligan, and I got to get this right at the top. The unfortunate thing for me is that the GM, Mike Mayock, who I know, I like, has no experience with any of this, right? John hired him, so he worked for John. So even though he has the GM title, he's really the personnel director. But this has all got to be, news to him. And I don't know about his leadership capability, but they had also a brain drain on the administrative business side before the season started, too, where club presidents and CEOs and all that have walked out the door as well. So there's a big drain of leadership in this building, and somehow Mark Davis has to get it right. I think he almost is forced to get somebody from the outside to kind of come steady the ship, whether it's now or after the season, I'm not sure. But I think it can be a positive in the long run. I think the Raiders have such a great track record of all the things that John pointed out. The Raiders have been front and center in hiring African-American head coaches, Hispanic head coaches, women CEOs. They have a great track record in this. And I think somehow that has to be the story going forward to try to change the narrative. And again, I'm not making light of what John said. We've got to change our society. But I think when you break it down to what the Raiders have to do, they've got to win football games, and hopefully they can get the narrative back on the field. I mean, they're 3-2, but there's a long ways to go in this season.
Randy, in thinking about how this started, what's going on with Dan Snyder's Washington football team, and you know the connection between John Gruden when he was working at ESPN and I'm forgetting the name, over at the Redskins, the former president.
Bruce Allen.
Thank you very much. Yeah. My question is this. I think, and I'm going to connect some dots to get to my question. When you think about the Robert Kraft ordeal, again, Dan Snyder and what's going on with these, sexual assault and misconduct, like, to fans that say they're starting to question if this ownership group, you know, if this is an honor amongst thieves is a term that I've used in just describing what this looks like. Your experience, is that what it is? Is this a country club of sorts that by hook or crook, they're going to protect one another?
Well, I don't necessarily know about that, at least to that level. I do know this, as is, happens in big business, no matter what the industry, people at the top that control the strings can manipulate based on the agendas that they want out there. And that's just life, right? That's any of our companies, any companies anywhere, the bosses manipulate what's going on. So I guess, yeah, it probably puts some doubt in people's minds as fans as to how things are done and how they are operated. To be honest with you, I don't think a lot of fans even think that far ahead. All they want to do is know if their team's going to win on Sunday. So, but it takes events like this to sometimes check us all as to the intent of and the agendas of the powers that be. I've said for years that if you want to know the reasons for the questions being asked, just check the agendas of the people asking the questions. So that, if that makes any sense at all, that's kind of where we're at. I think the focus being put on football here at some point is the best thing for the league and for the game, but I also know there's going to be doubt in people's mind now at the agendas of why these were leaked out. Like we said, there's, you know, 500,000 other emails that weren't leaked out, and that toxic culture that was with the Washington football team that where there was no transparency on that investigation, it sure puts doubt on all that, that's for sure.
Randy Mueller, CEO, MuellerFootball.com with Nick and Stan here. Randy, we got about 45 seconds left here. 25% of NFL teams are 4-1 or better right now. Who is the best team in the NFL?
Well, gosh, that's a hard question to answer. But I think if you really boil it down, you've got to find teams on both sides of the ball that are strong. And I find the AFC in Buffalo and the Chargers' hands right now as the two teams that are strong on both sides of the ball. And people may not want to hear this, but I think in the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys are at or near the top because of that. They're playing good on both sides of the ball. They've got a quarterback who's making good decisions. They're running the ball. They're passing the ball. They're not turning it over. I think Tampa and Dallas are probably the two teams to beat in the NFC. You got to put Green Bay in there, but they haven't always been pretty. So I'm kind of wandering a little bit, but I think you're top. If I had to pick one team, I'd probably pick Buffalo right now, to be honest with you.